All right, so let's get started. Christ-like duties and responsibilities of a librarian. And as I said, we're halfway through. There we go. So looking at our Constitution, Section 51 lays out for us what the librarian is supposed to do. The librarian shall keep a list of all available books and periodicals, ordering the same for any who request them. The librarian shall be prepared to give a report of books on hand at each quarterly business meeting. And the librarian is responsible for literature to be on display at public lectures. And the last one, I have been in the truth for just 6 years now. I don't know what collecting stamps for the Bible mission is, so maybe somebody can help. Cancer
Center?
Canceled stamps?
Oh, okay.
So why are these things important? The keeping a list of available books and periodicals, of course, you know, we have our library that we're setting up over here in the other room, and obviously anybody can come over and take a look at what we have. Well, most anybody. Some have a little longer trip than others. But it makes sense that, you know, we have these books and somebody has to keep track of them. If somebody comes and wants to take a book out, you know, it's important that we know where it is. So if somebody else has been looking for it, you know, we know where to go and find it. And it makes sense to have the librarian to keep track of that. The librarian shall give a report of books. You know, speculating again why we have this is that it's good for us, it's general knowledge for everyone to know what we have on hand at the quarterly meeting, and if anything's out and missing, etc. And then, of course, what might be the most important one, at least in my mind, is having literature out at lectures, public events, where we have the public coming in, and of course they're going to be asking questions. They're going to wonder who we are and you know, what we stand for. So it's important to have all that out at the public events. Looking at the ecclesial guide, there's nothing. And I was surprised that there's really nothing in there. And I was wondering if, when the ecclesial guide was written, people just didn't think about that. You know, there probably was not that large a body of works written for study at that time. I imagine, for the most part, people relied upon their Bible, conversations, you know, papers that various brothers wrote, and there just wasn't a reason to have a library. Of course, we've moved on quite a bit from that, and there's a huge selection of works that we have to choose from. Then looking at the Bible, the librarian and library actually doesn't appear even once in the Bible. I couldn't find it anywhere. Books does appear over and over again. There's the chronicles and instances where kings are looking at books. And so it's inferred that there would be a library present. There had to be. But no specific mention of a librarian. So with library, I went to Holman's Bible Dictionary to look up, try to find a good definition of it. Systematically arranged collection of writings. Many of the earliest libraries were archived, housed in palaces or temples. That makes sense to me. And actually, the Bible itself is considered a library. It fits the definition. In Latin, it's called a bibliotheque. And it says that it's probably not until about 300 AD that all 66 books were assembled together in what we would consider a library. So a couple of scriptural examples of library that I was able to find, and there are a lot of them. You just look up the word book, and you can find many, many examples of what, you know, a book itself, but many examples of what could be construed as a library. Esther 6 tells us, on that night, could not the king, as you were asleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. So, if you remember this whole incident, it's clear that the Chronicles, the book of the record, was not, that wasn't just, that was a record of what happened in the court, but it's not a record of just what the king said and did. It's a record of everything that went on, which shows the importance, because this, of course, is the incident where the king realizes that Mordecai is not his enemy. Mordecai is actually friendly to him. Joshua 8 tells us, and afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. It was not a word that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, but the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So this is a scene where they've gathered everyone together. They're reading the book together because they didn't, that was their library. They didn't have, you know, not everybody was literate at that point in time. They couldn't read the records for themselves. So what they would do, they would gather together, probably similar to what we do, and sit around and read the record, and there would be probably a lot like what we're doing in Sunday school. There would be some presentation of the material, and then afterwards there would be a discussion of what the ideas and the concepts meant. I have a couple of examples of, you know, actual libraries where they stored books like we think of today. We've got a little washed out, but you can see Qumran, cave number 4, which is where one of the caves where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. I guess in number 4, that's where they found the most scrolls. I wasn't aware of this, but they actually stored the scrolls in big jars. Like the one that's over on the right screen, right side of the screen. So, just for reference, the area where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, it's on the northwest side of the Dead Sea. You can see it up on top by Qumran. And then we have what I would say would be the opposite end of what a library is, an old library. We've got the Dead Sea Scrolls, the caves where they were found, the scrolls, these parchments were kept in an earthen vessel, created from the dirt, formed into something that could hold the word. The other end is what you see on the screen here. This is the library of Celsus, an ancient Roman, I think he was a senator, and it's in Ephesus. The library was built for a couple of reasons. To store, it says it could hold 12,000 scrolls, but it's also a monument to a man. So we have one side, we have a cave that was hewn out of stone to preserve the word of God, and we have on the other side, you know, a totally self-glorifying building for after a man. Now, it did hold some text. It doesn't make any mention that it held any biblical things. It was all knowledge of man, which is not important. And it was also, this man was important in the eyes of the other men of Rome, because it was very rare at that time to have a building named after you. He had this built with his own funds, and he was also buried in it. So he was an important man, but he probably had absolutely no importance or any awareness of the Word of God. So this is the kind of library we want to stay away from. And, you know, because we are fleshly, it's easy to sort of go down this road in pretty much anything, and even in a library, I would imagine. So why do we have a library? We have a library to go after, to follow in the footsteps of that original library where the Dead Sea Scrolls were kept. We want to preserve the Word of God, not only in ourselves, we want to be aware of it, but we want to make it known to each other, brothers and sisters of the Ecclesia. We want to make our children aware of it, help them create an understanding of it. And we want the folks in the area around who will hear to be able to understand the Word of God. So a couple of examples I found. Old Testament first is in Deuteronomy. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, again, out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. So that tells us it was an important document right there, that book, because the priests and the Levites were using it. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and statutes, and to do them. And that, to me, right there, sort of, in a few words, summarizes why our library is so important, why our librarian, the work of our librarian is important. Because we want to learn about God and his ways. We want to keep the words, and keep in this sense is to preserve it. So we want to preserve it within ourselves, understand it, share it with those around us. And then we want to put that into action. We need to do those things that we learn. That his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and then that he not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. So if we approach our library, our work in the truth, in the proper way, learning it, preserving it, sharing it, and doing it, we should not be lifted up. We should not be puffed up, I guess is the right word. And then hopefully, if we do this in a way that's pleasing to God, that we not turn aside from the commandment, and we follow along in the footsteps of Christ. Two final references from the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 1 Peter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we want to assemble in our library texts that will be helpful for us, that will help us to be confident in our preaching, in our interactions with not only each other, help each other to learn, but when we meet somebody at work, at the store, if we're out leafleting, getting ready for a lecture, you know, wherever, that we are prepared to tell others about the Word, so that we're well studied, and that we need not be ashamed, not be ashamed isn't the right word. It's fled from me. I guess nervous. That we be ready. We're confident, and we can speak freely about the Word and not worry about feeling strange because somebody sort of scoffs at us. And that's it. Questions, comments? Steve?
So, in addition to the observation, vision is one of the other things that the librarian is responsible for, is providing the materials that present the
there were hundreds of different tests in there, in addition to the portions of the Bible that we're familiar with.
The Bible portion is actually very small. There was a lot of commentary on the Word, a lot of just how we lived our lives.
Right.
A lot of insight was given there, which is what our library does for us. And I think, too, that part of the value of the library is having the built materials back in for brethren who need to be instructed in order to share with the ecclesia. It's much the same as under the law, the priests were once. Not, you know, if you think about it, the law that was written down was kept in the dark. Nobody had access to it. You couldn't go, I'm just going to go read, you know, what Moses wrote here in this section. That wasn't possible. It was the priest's duties to instruct the blue collar Israelite on what the law said. And I think within our group, you know, there are certain individuals as teaching brethren, we have that responsibility. So we not only go through the Word, we go through the things that have been written to help us understand those things and then share them with others.
Right.
Provides a very important function. But then they get away from it a little bit. I think everybody has electronic versions of things, but it's always nice to have a central place where the books are kept. Certainly.
Those electronic versions, to me, they're very helpful, and it's fast to get to the information. But I found that it's harder for me to although you can put notes in it, it's not as valuable to me. It's harder to, as you read, like if I put all the notes in my Bible, as I read along, I pick those up. You have to go an extra step when it's electronic. You have to mouse over it and it pops over. And it's harder to maintain that continuity of the readings.
Right, and also with the electronic version, you tend to pick and choose. Whereas if you're sitting down with a book, you can read the whole book. And you're going to get that brother's insight on the whole idea, and not just, you know, some phrase that you're looking for. So
right. It's
very valuable to actually sit down and read your reader, and not just look for something. So it's nice to have those books.
Did you have something now?
Yeah. You mentioned about taking out the books. Do we have any card file to, you know, keep track of who has the books and when they took them out and every kind of thing? We used to, when we were kids ago, in Hudson, we used to have a card file for the books. In those days, we had cassette tapes, hundreds, thousands. And we used to keep track of them, but a lot of the problem with that was they were taken out and never came back.
Right.
Well, that's what the charges for. Okay, who has this book? So I think the library is being actually reformed now. I mean, we haven't had an official library. I mean, it's been here and there, wherever the library is, but that's
right. Our
own central place that we had in Hudson. We haven't had that, so I think it's being recollected probably.
Right. It was in our living room for a couple of years.
Right.
And before that, I think it was in someone's basement.
Right. Well, when we lived in Maryland, it used to be at our house.
Yep.
Because it was just our room in Maryland.
Right.
And then it went from there.
So the tracking system, there isn't one.
Yeah.
I've thumbed through many of them, and it just says Hudson Ecclesia on the inside cover.
At one time, a lot of the books were sold out.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of them have prices in them too. But you're right. I think Eureka. We have all but one of those books. One right in the middle is gone. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, once it's officially set up, then maybe we could have some kind of a system to keep track of.
Right. We should.
And
yep.
And have the librarian have a check or something, make sure
you're
back. Bring
it
back on time.
There you go. Anything else? All right, thank you.